live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome to the Data Doctors radio program. It's Brandon, Ken, and the other Ken. And here's what's going on in the world of tech this week.
Hey, HBO wants you to travel with an entourage in your pocket.
Also, are you going to crash the royal wedding?
And finally, more proof that Apple is the evil empire. It's all coming up.
Data Doctors radio program.
But first, breaking news from the federal government. They've been hacked. The Oak Ridge National Laboratory had to pull the plug on the internet when they were hit by a spear phishing attack. Don't worry, the lab only handles national security and classified stuff. Now, Ken Colburn, live in the field.
Yes, from Tennessee. Hey, y'all, I'm out here in Tennessee trying to see how the nuclear proliferation controls. This is a...
What happened?
This is a... this is my favorite quote from this story.
I like first that it's the Oak Ridge National Laboratory.
This is my favorite quote from this story. One of our core competencies at the lab is cybersecurity research.
Apparently.
Wait, you know, they got exploited by a zero-day exploit in Internet Explorer. So here's this cybersecurity firm employed by the government, private firm that has something going with the University of Tennessee. We're paying tax dollars to this organization that can't even figure out that maybe the most exploited browser on the planet should be excluded from a cybersecurity firm. I don't know.
Wow. So I wonder who's got the information. Is it Libya?
Well, by the way, Chrome, this past week, we saw a very elaborate exploit for Chrome users. Now they're using the whole fake security thing and making it look like a Chrome security warning. So it ain't like just because you're on Internet Explorer, you're safe. But,
no.
I mean, but these people are supposed to know this, right?
They are the national experts.
Let me repeat this. One of our core competencies at the lab is cybersecurity research.
Did anybody bother to research where this is at?
Tennessee.
That's not the hotbed of tech, last time I checked.
It is if you get the grant.
Toothless technology.
Wasn't there a band called the Oak Ridge Boys?
Elvira. Giddy up, oom pop, oom pop.
Apparently,
mow,
that was
mow.
Their. Their cybersecurity tactic is to unplug the entire facility from the internet because.
Quick unplug us! We're getting hacked.
Wasn't there countries that unplugged from the internet?
I'm just. What part of the core competency game plan was the unplug?
Yes, Mr. President, we have a little problem here.
Well, what is that?
We've been hacked.
Crap! Pull the plug!
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Well,
man, oh man.
Why are we surprised, right?
That is the government, and they're here to help.
Speaking of the government, you got a little story about somebody in the government that has an axe to grind with the people up in Cupertino.
Representative Jesse Jackson says that Apple is putting Americans out of work. Really?
Really?
A few short weeks ago, I came to the House floor after having purchased an iPad, and I said that I happen to believe, Mr. Speaker, that at some point in time, this new device, which is now probably responsible for eliminating thousands of American jobs, now Borders is closing stores because why do you need to go to Borders anymore? Why do you need to go to Barnes & Noble? Just buy an iPad and download your book. Download your newspaper. Download your magazine.
Of course Apple is putting people out of business. Books are old school.
And wait a minute. Somebody else started dealing with the whole book thing long before Apple came along.
Yeah.
And by the way, a iPad? Is that what he bought?
He bought a iPad, which means he's partially responsible for putting Americans out of work.
And let me underscore, Representative Jackson, that we have to close the borders. That's the whole problem with immigration. We have to close...
Different borders, Ken.
Oh, sorry.
First of all, Apple employs somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000 people. That's 50,000. I think there's a few more Apple employees than congressmen.
But wait, device was not made in the U.S., though. Come on.
Oh, it was made. Yeah, the best part of his quote, I've isolated the best part of Jesse Jackson's quote.
Just Jesse Jackson Jr.
After having purchased an iPad, and I said that iPads are made in China, there are 13 million unemployed Americans who are counting on this Congress to do something.
So is Congress supposed to stop having Apple make the iPads in China? Is that what he's trying
to do? No. I think what he's saying is that 13 million people used to make these books.
Oh, okay.
One page at a time. I guess. Okay, 13 million people can't be wrong.
So we've put what are the tree cutters called? Loggers? We've put loggers out of business?
Wait, aren't we supposed to be saving the environment by not cutting down trees?
We're going green. But,
guys, we're still cutting down trees at record rates. Oh, wow. Maybe we're just not using our books.
Toilet paper?
Borders are closing. Toilet paper? Yeah, toilet paper. Yeah.
Well,
could they make an iPad be into a wipe?
But wait a minute. He just said on the floor of the Senate, or for the House, that he's part of the problem. He just bought an iPad.
When did this turn into a political show?
It's not a political show.
It's not a political show, but...
It's like, get your... I mean, really?
You're saying that Apple is putting people out of work, yet you're buying an iPad.
A iPad. From a company called A Apple. I went into a Apple store.
And it's putting people out of work. I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, things change, right? The evolution.
Yes.
I think maybe next week he's going to be representing the Buggy Whip Foundation about how many Buggy Whip makers are out of work because of those cars.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, Jesse Jackson is a politician, Jesse Jackson Jr. I know.
Yes.
His dad was a preacher. But to tie the two together and say that Apple is causing bookmakers... Not gambling people, but book publishers.
Bookmakers.
Yeah.
There's borders and borders. Bookmakers and bookmakers.
Well, but
bookmakers, make me a book.
The challenge here is too many politicians want to harken back to the old manufacturing economy. This is part of the new economy. Who invented this? Americans.
Right.
That is our niche. We are smarter, more smarter.
Right. We're much more smarter
than the rest of the world. And that's really what we have to base our future on, not these old business models that are crumbling everywhere, not just in the United States. I mean, come on, get a clue, guys.
Yeah, but you know, when you're going to come out and point fingers and say that one company is responsible for the downfall of entire publishing industries, you're smoking crack. That's just not possible.
Well, maybe the Oak Ridge National Laboratory is responsible for the downfall.
Yeah. Well,
they didn't prevent cybersecurity issues.
Hey, there's no question. Unintended consequences, they happen.
Absolutely. Hey, still ahead. Ever wish you could take a picture in 360 degrees? That's like surround sound.
Surround sound for your... No, surround picture.
Yeah. There's an app for that, and it's an iPhone app. It's coming up. Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hey, don't forget anything and everything you hear on this show. No need to write it down. We make it very easy for you to get at datadoctors.com/radio. Click and go. You'll get all the info we're talking about here today on the show.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
So HBO has a new service called HBO Go. Coming soon to a tablet or maybe smartphone or something near you, just around the corner.
Yeah, well, they have it now, but you have to be able to play Flash.
Say it ain't so.
Yeah.
Won't work on the iPad?
No, it won't work on the iPad.
It works on all the non-popular tablets.
Right, no. It'll work on a regular computer. So starting like May 2nd.
How is that on the go, though?
What's that? No. They're going to have it on May 2nd for the iOS, for Android, for non-Flash playing devices. And the whole concept is if you're paying for HBO through the cable channel, cable provider.
Or satellite.
They're going to satellite, whatever. You already paying for it. They're saying, well, then we're going to give you access to those same shows on the devices you tend to carry around with you, right now you can go to HBO's website and look at old stuff.
So they want to make sure you don't stop paying them, right? There's more and more content available in more and more places. They want to try to give some more value to those subscribers so that people don't run away.
Back that app up. Why would I? Think about it. Cable companies they want to keep you on the cable or on the satellite. If I'm HBO or Showtime, why wouldn't I just allow people to subscribe to my content?
Because then the cable providers say we're going to stop carrying your content because
we
have an exclusive deal.
Right now, the cable provider provides them more fundage than...
It's the good old boy network, Spank.
Everyone's in bed with everyone except the consumer loses.
But maybe long-term, if consumers start to go this route, and they're going to give it away for now, maybe they start at some point offering a direct route. Who knows?
I would pay to have HBO content on my iPad.
Yeah, I just do it off the internet.
Okay, for the rest of the world that doesn't cheat, that follows the rules.
That's wrong?
Yeah.
Slightly.
No, I mean, but give HBO credit. I mean, they've always been kind of one of the forward-thinking networks out
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely. They're trying to extend their brand to where they see, obviously, where people are consuming content and making it convenient to do so, and since you're already paying there, and at the same time not kill off the relationship, to burn the boats that they're riding in now. So, I mean, it's understandable. Just watch HBO. They're going to probably lead this pack, and I get to watch Entourage on my iPad.
Coming soon to an app near you. Speaking of apps, everyone likes to take pictures with their mobile devices, their iPhones. You know, you go out, you take a picture of your friends at a party, they show up on Facebook, next thing you know, you get fired.
That's a good story.
Just saying.
Another show.
Another show. I can't believe I'm about to pimp a Microsoft product.
Go on.
Oh, God.
Go on, girl.
It's okay. It's okay.
You can do it.
Do I need to hold your hand under the table?
Microsoft actually made a product for the iPhone. It's called Photosynth. Photosynth. I don't have a lisp. It is the coolest app I have played with.
Wait. Did you just say coolest and Microsoft in the same sentence?
Fanboy? I did. It kills me.
Mac fanboy.
It's horrific.
He's sweating over there.
So here's what this app does. You walk into a room, and you know how realtors have these cool 360-degree views of the room? You walk into a room, you turn on the Photosynth app, and you take your first picture. And then you move the camera over, and it will click sequential pictures, and it'll look for all the similarities as you move around the room. So what it does is it will stitch together the photos so that you can actually create a 360-degree panoramic image.
So in the old days, you used to have to take a bunch of pictures and then go put it into your computer and get special software and do this photo stitching. This does it all in the app for you so that when you're done...
Automagically. Hmm. And then it takes it to the next level. You can socially post it.
Oh! Coming to Dark Side, are you?
You, I know. Microsoft actually made a product I liked.
I hate to tell you this, that they're both good. They both have a purpose. There's a place for both of them in our lives.
Get out.
Yes.
Hey, listen, and we've talked about previous apps on the show, AutoStitch being some of the others. And those do an okay job, but they're linear. This was cool because it kind of puts this glob together of all these images.
Yeah, and I did it in your office, and it handles low light, highlights. It handles all of the different lighting conditions pretty well and doesn't lose detail, and it's phenomenal.
Did it handle my Junior Varsity High School trophy good?
What Junior Varsity High School trophy?
Big trophy case? You didn't
My big trophy case? That was the highlight of my athletic career. JV football. Thank you.
Must have missed that.
I wonder why they didn't call it Photoglob, because that name is sure awesome.
Photoglob. That would have been better than Synth.
And Photoglob would match Microsoft.
Really?
What? Now, see, starting to turn.
Hey, yes. Speaking of iPhones, people have started to have smartphones and not just iPhones, but your Androids and your Crackberries and all that, and these things do so many different things.
Tons.
There's like 15 devices that these things now replace.
And it's not just iPhone. Android's doing the same thing.
Absolutely.
This is a smartphone world, right?
Yeah, smartphones are doing this.
Who needs a handheld GPS anymore?
A what?
A handheld GPS.
My iPhone doesn't.
How about handheld portable game player?
Totally irrelevant. You know, it's so funny you bring that up. My sister-in-law wanted to buy for Christmas her boys like one of those Nintendo DSIs.
Yeah.
And my wife actually convinced her to buy them an iPod.
Yeah, for the same dough.
iPod Touch, right?
iPod Touch. Right. And then you can just download the apps.
Hey, remember those?
Cheaper.
Remember those people that walked around with the portable CD players?
Yeah.
Not only is it cheaper, they don't lose the dumb cartridges.
Right. Well, the cartridges don't get lost. The games aren't 30, 40, 50 bucks.
Right. But
they
can rack up $1 million in the iTunes store.
I saw a lady jogging in my neighborhood. She had an old school Walkman, and I mean cassette version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's gone now, right?
Well, you know what was playing on it?
Let's get physical.
I wonder if my boombox is obsolete.
MP3 players gone. Yep. Portable DVD players gone. Ooh, they're making the claim that e-readers may get pushed out by these devices.
You know what? I don't disagree with that. I read books on my iPod, on my iPhone rather. Sometimes I'll jump in and read them on the iPad, and it saves them wherever I am. So if I read it partially on one and then pick it up on the other device, I'm there.
Why would anybody carry around a cheap point-and-shoot digital camera anymore?
No.
You got the really good camera, and you got your smartphone camera, right?
What about the old-school dictaphone?
Do we even need a watch anymore? Wristwatch?
Clocks, calculators, all of this stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff is all made obsolete.
And coming soon, you can throw your wallet in the trash. Thank you very much.
E-cash is in your hands. It's cool. I love them. They're great devices. They are fantastic. Coming up, snap, crackle, drop. Things that don't go well with your laptop. We've got a phenomenal Warfront from the storefront this week.
Yeah,
you're going to love this one.
Portable computers, you better stay tuned because we're going to tell you what you're doing to your own stuff.
We want you to not feel the pain.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Got a question for the show? Have a technology issue you need help with? It's easy to talk to us anytime online. Just hit us up at facebook.com/datadoctors and post it to the wall.
Warfront from the storefront. Actual stories from Data Doctors locations around the country.
Yeah, so as a regular part of the show, we want to bring what we do during the week to the show because this is helpful info, users helping users, learning from other people's pain. This week's story comes from our operations in the greater Orlando area, actually in Windermere. That would be Tiger Woods' backyard or his former backyard.
The happiest place on earth.
It used to be.
Until.
You know, 7-iron in the back window. It's not so happy. So anyway, it's still beautiful out there, but we had a customer come in with a very common problem.
And what's that?
And that would be a laptop with that little power pin that's no longer powering because it's been kinetically altered.
We call that the DC jack or the power jack.
Obviously, it wasn't a Mac.
Why would you say that?
Macs don't have that problem.
Why don't they have that problem?
They have the MagSafe.
What is that?
Patented technology that Apple rocks.
Patented technology.
The Apple MagSafe is patented technology.
It is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. You know what's really amazing?
What?
You know Apple's got a patent on it. Why wouldn't everybody use that?
Because Apple is smart and Steve Jobs is God.
How do you really feel, though, Mac fanboy?
No, by the way, he's the guy that got the app from Microsoft, so just so we're clear.
But the issue of the power pin, right? You plug the thing in, and then if you're not careful or if it's in a high traffic area, you brush it along it the wrong way, or the ones that have it in the back, people will push their laptop back towards the back
and
wall
or
something.
It just snaps right off.
It basically doesn't snap off necessarily, but if you do that enough times, you kind of loosen that thing up. And so we thought we'd resurrect a little top five list that we had a while back, which are the top five laptop repairs. We actually took statistical data over a year's period to figure out what the most common repairs were in our data, in our laptop repair labs.
Do we need a drum roll for this top five?
Do you have one?
Well, wait, we should do it in reverse order. Instead of, we should start with
the number four.
Number five.
I wonder if I could do this with my hands for a long time.
Because it's the top five, we have to start with five.
Oh my goodness, I can't count these days. All right, we want to do it that way. You want to go backwards? Number five.
That is backwards.
At 4%, the keyboard. The keyboard replacements. The keyboard
That's, you know what the most common thing is for that is not just they wear out. People spill stuff in
soda.
Them.
Yes.
And not just sodas. People, I don't know who's eating dinner over their laptop, but apparently a lot of people because there's food. There's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. There's raisins.
Well, here's the deal.
I don't know who eats or drinks over their laptop.
Or around a lot of electronics. Nice.
And he just did you just leak on your laptop?
He did. He's but it's a Mac. It won't get hurt.
So, it's fine.
So if you are in a situation where you just cannot break that habit, get one of those plastic covers. They actually have keyboard covers. This neoprene, for lack of a better description, keyboard
skin
condoms.
I got a better idea. Enjoy your meal.
No. If you cannot break that habit, get one of those because
you can.
That's the most common. Number four at 6% are the fans. You know, the CPU fans in those cases. Cooling on a laptop is super, super critical.
Sure.
These fans go out primarily because nobody ever takes the time to, you know, clean out those little holes that are in and around.
Well, and they use them on the floor, on the carpet, on their pillow, on their bedspread, on their... These things contain what? Lint? Oh, yeah. That gets sucked in. That's... Ugh.
Smokers? Sorry. You're going to kill your laptop. Got pets? Pet dander? Mm-hmm.
Secondhand smoke going good for laptops
done.
Either?
Going to get her done. And the laptop, you said it earlier, that if you put your laptop on a pillow in your lap, you're going to suffocate the thing. You're going to cause those fans to run hotter or longer and more so than they need to. And again, you'll wear those out. Number three at 17% of our repairs, the LCD displays, people dropping them.
Sure.
Cracking them.
That's the screen, inverters. Right? Not just LCDs, now LEDs, whatever they are. There's backlights, there's inverters, there's a bunch of stuff going on there. It's a pretty big category of things that get replaced.
And something that people don't realize, if you use that laptop at its super highest, brightest setting all the time, you're actually going to – there's a circuit in there that you potentially would run out.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Lower that resolution.
I just lowered it down. Now it's done.
That will extend the life of the display. Number two is what we talked about at 18%, the DC jacks. People breaking those things off.
Most of those are very user caused. They're not things that happen over time. It's oops, I tripped.
Yep.
I'm trying to use it in bed and it's plugged in and it's I'm torquing the back of it.
But isn't the whole purpose of a laptop not to have it plugged in? I mean, when I use my MacBook Pro 17-inch in bed, it's not plugged in ever.
Right. But what if you're Ken and you don't really think about charging stuff. And so you get into bed and you're like, oh, crap, 6%.
He does have wireless power at home, doesn't he?
I do. Yeah, and no hair.
He's got an electric personality.
But that power adapter stretched across. Number one is people tripping over that. That's what causes that DC jack. So be careful how you do those things. Number one repair, though, far and away, 39% of all the laptops we repair, it's a motherboard problem. And one of the biggest reasons they have motherboard problems is people replace their, they lose or they break their old power converter. So they get one of these universal jobbies that say, hey, we can power anything and everything. And unfortunately, if you get one and don't set it right, or it doesn't auto detect, or it doesn't work right, it basically sends too much electrical power to the motherboard on a long term basis. So try to stick to the manufacturer's
AC adapters. So basically, it cooks the motherboard.
It does.
It's a slow roaster.
Yeah. All that and more at datadoctors.com/radio.
Yeah. If you're going to get one of those, stick with the manufacturers. If you're going to get a spare or a replacement or whatever, and don't the dog chews the cord. Trying to fix that, unless you really know what you're doing, you're probably going to cause yourself pain down the road.
And then if you don't want to have this problem at all, you can go to apple.com.
Whatever, dude. We get those into our laptop repair facility all the time.
Not for power cord issues.
For screen issues, for motherboard issues, and the older ones for power cord issues.
I know, before they came out with the MagSafe. These things happen. But
just the one. Just the one.
They are a far superior machine. By the way, have you looked at Apple stock today?
I guess I'll stop there.
Who cares?
Just ahead, you've seen the movie Wedding Crashers, right, guys?
Yeah.
Will it happen to the royal wedding? It's all coming up on the Data Doctors radio program.
Remember, all the cool stuff we talk about is easily found on the web anytime. You can grab all the links to today's program at datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
You know what else is up there is the stuff that's not that great that we talk about too.
We don't do any of that stuff.
Everything we talk about is fantastic.
Fantastic. What are we talking about now?
Mixtapes.
Is the Data Doctors radio
apparently
program.
We're talking about pushing buttons at wrong times.
Or mixed up board engineer tapes. Yeah, mixtape.me. It's a cool little website I found. You guys may be too old.
I used to make mixtapes.
You did? Okay, you did. You probably
Dude, I had dual cassette decks.
Right.
Trust me.
Two turntables and a microphone?
I had auto reverse, baby.
Nice.
I had Dolby BC and MX Pro.
So, I mean, the mixtape thing was pretty early dating, courting world, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say the mixtape was
absolutely.
I made fun of friends with mixtapes, but go ahead.
But the problem today is that everybody's got their playlists and those kinds of things, but the whole mixtape concept kind of gone out the window, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty much. I don't think a kid today knows what a mixtape is.
Well, unless they're a Jamie Cullum fan.
Wait. Let us vow to teach our children the ways of the mixtape.
The beauty of the mixtape.
Can we do that right here?
Let's do it.
We can do that.
Let's make a pact.
Mixtape.me. That's the website that I found that's really cool. It basically, you can create a mixtape and share it with the world. And if they like your mixtape, they listen to it and they vote for it.
Which country is .me?
Maine, I think.
That's a country?
I think that's
When did they secede? And
that would be a mobile me, which is an Apple.
No, me is a country code. We'll figure it out and tell you later.
That's why borders are closing. Anyway,
that's
go.
Exactly. Hey, Twitter got hit with a pretty major rogue app this past week. And it really kind of underscores the importance of folks understanding that That's an area of great exposure for you. This was one of those apps that you could basically have monitor your, at least it was purporting to monitor your Twitter followers, and when somebody unfollows you, it would warn you, it would or let you know. And
is this the part of the show that I think it is?
I don't know. Is it?
Where
is
we fall asleep? Or
no, is this Scam Center?
Oh, it is. I forgot, huh?
You that
forgot
cuts off that. Too quickly.
I we cut should, it off. We should,
oh, okay.
That's beauty. Yeah, but the Scam Center scam of the week. Twitter did shut down this particular unfollow me scam that was going on, where the app would gain access to your Twitter account, would not do what it said it was going to do, and start spamming all your friends and what have you. You cannot trust 90% of those companies out there offering to do things. Do your homework before you allow them to access your Twitter account.
We'll make it easy. The ones we talk about on the show, you can trust. Anything else, you can't. Does that make it easy?
Well, yeah, or if you're looking at one and you don't know whether it's legit or not, post it on our Facebook page. Ask us and the community, has anybody used this? Just don't go about allowing, you know, it says approve, allow access to my Twitter credentials and what have you. As soon as they do that, they got
that's
you.
It. They're, yeah. You're done.
Yeah. So and, same
and
thing
on
Facebook.
Then you get text messages for premium text services.
Yeah, my wife got, I don't know how, but somehow her phone I had because something was wrong. And anyway, she gets a text message saying, thank you for subscribing to custom ringtones. You'll now be charged $9.99 a month to unsubscribe. Reply with stop. And I'm thinking, do I reply? Does that confirm?
And that concludes this week's Scam Center.
I wasn't ready for you. You got to warn me.
I know. We're still working on that scene.
Yeah, we're working on it. We'll have it better next week. Big story in the news. Everyone's talking about it across the country.
Who cares?
We're getting there.
Irrelevant.
The royal wedding.
It's the most important thing happening today. What are you talking about?
Everyone is talking about it. Everyone's covering it. Everyone's there.
I'm not.
For the first time.
They started at like 4 o'clock in the morning with coverage. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Katie Couric's there. I mean, name a network that isn't there covering it. I bet you Anderson Cooper's there.
I know a famous guy that's not there.
Who?
Ken Colburn.
Ken Colburn's not there.
Because he doesn't care. It's irrelevant.
But here's what you
famous.
Can do, Ken.
The wedding crash.
You can watch it on YouTube.
Sure.
Because they're streaming it live, baby.
I'm sure he'll be one of the 13 yeah, billion people that will be there.
I'm not going to get up at 1 in the morning my time to watch this.
If there was an event that would test whether or not YouTube can handle the traffic, this might be.
I think it's going to be huge. I mean, it's going to be on all the networks, but a lot of people are going to be doing their thing, watching it on their smartphones, hitting YouTube up. It could crash. I mean, I don't get why people watch it. I don't understand what the fascination is with the royalty, but it is going to be
Europe,
a media frenzy.
I can see it in Europe. Here, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
Lady Gaga's got more.
But let's at the risk of getting down the sexist path here for a minute. Don't women, a lot of them, have this fantasy?
Yeah, of course.
Of being the princess, and here
the princess bride, yes.
Right? So here, I mean, there's been movies and books, and this is ingrained, perhaps.
Okay,
here's
but,
a real life story of it.
Okay, but my assumption is nobody cares, and that's what I want to know: is do you care? Let us know on our Facebook page. Does this royal wedding mean anything to you?
Or
Facebook.com/datadoctors. Yeah, are you on my side of the thing going irreverent?
See, I think you're totally off on this, Ken. People do care about this. It's just like the night Princess Diana died. People turned on their TVs. CNN was on. I remember watching the CNN report.
To me, that's totally different.
Why is that totally different?
Because that's a tragic event, not...
So was the royal wedding.
Maybe this wedding. Only time will tell.
I mean, really, and they're by the way, they're both inviting exes to the wedding, which I think is really cool.
Whatever. You know who...
could be a throwdown at the royal wedding.
Did you have an ex at your wedding?
You know who looks like
no.
Catherine? Our friend Nicole Lappin at CNBC. She looks very... like
not horrible on the eyes, by the way.
Well, but they, I think, separated at birth might be...
Yeah, that could be. She could be royalty.
We might have to put
Nicole,
that up on our Facebook
Nicole's
page.
Much better looking.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think
she's more smarter,
be,
too.
Now
by
she'll
way,
listen to this segment.
The Royal Channel is going to be broadcasting about 4 hours before everyone else.
What kind of accent is that supposed to be?
I don't know. It's the Royal Channel access.
The official garter has been delivered.
Ooh.
Reporting live from the official garter delivery.
Where are they honeymooning? Are they going to be covering that on YouTube as well?
Yeah, I'm sure. And live streaming.
The conception of the offspring. CNN.
No. The royal family is not to that level of transparency as of yet.
Not yet.
Maybe down the road, but yeah, no. Even though content is king, that content shan't make it.
I know, personally, I will sign the digital guest book and congratulate them. And then we'll start the pool as to how long the marriage will last.
I will laugh at you, ha-ha, sir.
Back to bookmakers, are
we? I say nay for me.
Bookmakers, yeah, the guys who make books. All the links to all the cool stuff we talk about on the program can be found at datadoctors.com/radio. Plus, there's a great search tool. It's a resource if you're looking for answers to computer and technology questions. If you're thinking it, someone's probably already answered it. Hit us up. It's a Data Doctors radio program.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome to the Data Doctors radio program. It's Ken, Brandon, and the other Ken, Mac Fanboy. Here's what's going on in the world of tech this week.
Digital dating gets safer.
Plus, there's a better way to rent your home.
And I think we have actually found some proof that Jesse Jackson Jr. might be correct about the iPad killing employment.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
So before we talk about those things, Google Maps. Who here has ever gotten lost because they believed what they were looking at in a Google map?
Data Doctors Tucson store.
How about, well, I mean, Tucson, it makes it a little easier because I know Tucson. How about being in Oklahoma City? I'll never forget this one. I was trying to get to my niece's wedding rehearsal something or other.
Weddings are irrelevant.
Must have been very
weddings are
important.
Irrelevant. Unless you're a wedding photographer. Do you know any? So I'm using Google Maps to get from my hotel to this event that's supposedly a mile and a half away. Want to make a good impression, right? Get there nice.
Be there on time.
Nay! Apparently the dot on the map was incorrect. And so since I know nothing, and I mean nothing, about Oklahoma City.
I know one thing about it, but it's not good.
It's where the sheep are smarter than the men.
Well, there was some bombing stuff that happened.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not good.
But I mean, from a directional standpoint, from being able to get around the city.
You're directionally challenged.
I was completely directionally challenged. I was 100% relying on this thing. And of course, I'm a half an hour late because it wasn't even close. So I bring that up because Google just this past week started a new program that absolutely everyone I think out there has a need to get involved in. That is Google Map Maker, right?
Map Maker, make me a map.
Something like that.
I think it's a match.
Whatever.
It's Matchmaker.
We'll do it our way. We did it. No. So you can now correct information that is incorrect in Google Maps and submit that, and that they'll review it. And if they approve it, it becomes part of the global map. So they're crowdsourcing the inaccuracy of all of this information in Google Maps.
So they're letting me fix their faux pas.
Well, they're crowdsourcing.
They're not allowing you to. They're encouraging you.
They're giving you the opportunity, should you. Now, what's really cool is they're going beyond the normal stuff.
Okay.
So one of the examples they use is if you went to this particular college and you stayed in this dorm, you have information about the dorm that's not common knowledge. Like, here's a shortcut to get from your dorm room to this class. Don't go this way, go this way. You can actually lay that out and put that information into Google Maps.
And here's the best alleyway to throw up in if you had too much to drink.
Exactly.
So here's where there's a big crack in the door and you can see girls taking showers. Is that what they're looking for?
You know, Ken, people are going to put that stuff on there.
He's rolling his eyes.
Yeah.
As if he's so much more mature.
I am so. By years I am.
Oh, of course.
Address your concerns to Brandon at datadoctors.com.
So basically, this is going to allow you to fix the inaccuracies in Google Maps.
It's going to allow you the opportunity to input. But there's so much more than that. Everyone out there, just go and check out this link. Your attention to detail will be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. And what we're talking about specifically is, and you know that you go to a place and the pin is where it should be,
but it's like a mile and a half or 2 miles away. It's helping them correct those little.
How is it where it should be, but a mile or two?
Well,
miles
the
away?
Pin, you know where the pin should be. But if you don't know, but never mind. I'll just shut up now.
No. Yet another reason to get yourself a Google account if you don't have one. Like half the stuff we'll talk about, I'm sure in the next year on this show, you'll probably want to have an account for. So,
Good point. Get that Google account so you can help us all. You're part of the crowd, folks. Yeah?
Yes.
Get her done. What do we got?
Little Herbie.
Time for Geek Speak of the Week.
Yeah, every week we try to bring you a little portion of the vernacular that might either be of value or maybe not, but it's information that we think you should ought to have.
Geek Speak.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is M-commerce. You've all heard of e-commerce, electronic commerce. That's
yes.
The general blanket put into buying things online. Well, M-commerce is this emerging technology group that's going to allow you to use your mobile device to make purchases.
I don't mean
just going onto a website and going through the normal process where you fill out the form and say, here's my credit card and all that. I'm talking about the device itself actually making purchases. Like wave it near a cash register, click on I approve, and you just made the purchase of that soda pop out of that vending machine.
Or swipe it on your card reader, and you've charged their credit card.
How do you swipe your smartphone again?
With
the thing up in the jig. Well, actually,
scratch that.
The near field communication, which is where the next generation of smartphones, they're going to have this technology enabled that allows you. You know, like some convenience stores, you get a special card, sure. You can wave it over the top of the gas pump.
Because
or
everyone needs a little NFC.
NFC, yes.
Near field communication. See, near NFC. Field. He's abbreviating.
Yeah. Instead of TLC?
Right. Instead of KFC.
Now, so here's what I'm really concerned about, though.
Yes.
So remember years ago, we added E to the front of everything for a while because there was a craze. And then we added I to the front of everything for a while. Now we have to add M to the front of everything?
It's M to the C to the O to the double M. Erse.
M-commerce is killer. It's a great way for a small business.
But let's address something.
Go ahead, address.
We have to before we run out of time. Everybody's going, oh, no. That is going to be so unsecure. If somebody gets my phone, no. Let's walk through this. You lose your wallet now. You got 8 or 10 different things in there. What do you have to do? You got to get on the phone. You got to call all these people. You're on hold. It takes forever. How long does it take you to get everything shut down so that nobody can take advantage of this?
I use Find My iWallet, and it swipes all the data clean.
There was a time. I mean, let's not forget. There was a time where people would not purchase things online.
Correct.
And they wouldn't bank online, and they wouldn't dream of doing half the things we do today. So while this seems a little bit nuts, and it seems like,
no, it's going to be.
Rest assured, you'll adopt because you'll be comforted when you figure out how this
actually
works.
It'll be even better. If you lose your phone, you have one thing to do, which is get online and basically turn off all of those services, all the things that are attached to your phone, so that nobody can use that. Or if you have an iPhone or an Android with the software, you can track it down, right? You can't track down your wallet when it disappears. You can track the phone down. I mean, there's so much more value and security built into this emerging technology. So don't be afraid of it.
Is it M-commerce or M-commerce?
Good commerce.
Good. It's M for money.
Campbell's must be behind it then.
It's phenomenal technology.
Mobile commerce.
I do remember the days where people were afraid of using debit cards because, oh my God, they're going to access my bank account? I mean, big deal. It's like direct deposit in reverse.
And checks are so much safer.
And today, you should be afraid of using your debit card online.
Yeah.
Because it has direct access to your bank.
It does. Hey, still to come, we got a quick update on our Socks for Japan drive, plus a great way to vacation. It's all coming up on the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, don't bother trying to write this stuff down, especially if you're driving. We got all the links that we're talking about here on the show at datadoctors.com/radio, because that's where it is.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All right, so last week I was looking around. We got to find these mobile apps.
All of them?
All of them. Every single one of them. We've got to look at all of them and say, this is the one. This is the one that you should go and get this week.
I want to switch platforms to the one that only has the 100 apps or whatever.
It's a lot easier that way, isn't it?
Wouldn't that be the new
playbook?
Yeah.
So you have all of these. Oh, we got to talk about that later. We have all of these apps that we've talked about for the iPad, right? You can read magazines. You can read newspapers. You can read books. You can watch movies. You can listen to music. You can
put Americans out of work with them.
You can put Americans out of work with them. But what we haven't talked about anywhere in the past, because I've checked all the archives, is how you can like write stuff down on your iPad.
Because there's no good app to do that.
Wait, you just told them not to write stuff down. Now you're going to tell them to write stuff down?
Now, with this app, yes, absolutely.
Pull over and write it down.
With a pen?
There are times when you're sitting with the iPad in a meeting or whatever, and it would be so much easier to just jot down a couple of notes with your finger right on the pad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can. For $1.99.
$1.99? Are you out of your mind?
That's going to put Americans out of work. Penultimate.
Penultimate means next to last.
Yes. And this is the next to the last way that you're going to
document. So you can only get one
things.
More app after this and then you're
Correct.
Done.
Correct. No, this would be like next to the last way that you would make these notes, right? You talk, you can type. No, you can literally take your finger and just jot down notes. You can change the colors. You can save an entire notebook full of notes and email them.
Why does this seem like you're joking with me? Because this doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Because you probably live on the keyboard, and lots of us are used to writing things down.
You know what? I love this app. We were playing with it yesterday, Brandon.
It seems like the most low-tech thing ever. I'm going to get a tablet so that I can use it like a piece of paper and a scratch pad.
Right, because how many of us go into meetings, and you don't want to bring a traditional notepad, so you'll bring your tablet with you, your iPad or your Zoom, and you want to write it down. But you want to. I'm much faster if I write notes, but I don't want to have paper. Mm. This gives you the ability to do that. You're not typing key.
How easy is it to sketch out a little idea that you're having, right, on a keyboard?
Have you ever seen me sketch, sir?
Well, that's why
it'll be easier to describe it to you in 5 words. Because
you're far too above this app, Brandon.
No, I have no drawing skills, sir. And I can't read my own handwriting.
Anybody that grew up making notes on a pad will love this app. And for $1.99, get her done.
It's $1.99. And the software company that makes it?
Yes.
They're American.
No.
San Francisco.
Did Jesse factor
that
into the iPad equation?
You said American.
American?
American.
American.
Hey, by the way, just quick shout out to everybody that helped us out with our Socks for Japan drive. We're going through and just trying to finalize this last shipment. Actually, we're going to have 2 more shipments, so if you want to still participate, you can. But this next shipment, we're just putting it together. And the number of people that actually took the time to write a little note, and a lot of them actually translated it into Japanese, stuck the note in the bag. I mean, they followed the directions on the website perfectly. I love our audience.
Hopefully they didn't use one of those translation softwares online because, man, those things are just brutal.
You know what? They'll figure it out. Even if they did, it's still super cool that these people are going to get a donation like that, a pair of socks,
Absolutely.
And a little note of encouragement. And kudos to all of you that participated at that level. That was amazing. Anybody that participated, thank you so much.
If
we're going to continue that.
If you're hearing about this and you're saying, what the heck are these guys talking about? We're going to have links and information for you. You can check it out, actually, facebook.com/datadoctors. You can actually see some pictures of some of the stuff. We've got all kinds of things there. So,
yeah, and all the instructions will be on the links there.
Now, guys, you know, as we're getting closer to that time of year where everybody likes to take vacation, we go away, we're going somewhere, you're looking for a hotel room to stay with the family. Hotels are outrageous. Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Well, now there's a way to go find a home away from home.
Yeah, there's a really easy way to find lodging, especially if you have a larger group of people. You got a family of 4. Hotel rooms can get pretty expensive.
And we have a family of 5.
Lots of people
Seven. Yeah, forget. My kids will go on vacation without me.
There you go.
That is a vacation.
Well, you really need this. HomeAway.com is a great website for people that are saying, I have an apartment, I have a home, I have what have you, and I'm willing to rent it, and here are the parameters, here are the pictures, all that. So it's you're dealing directly with folks that are willing to rent out, you know, B&B kind of thing, only maybe not even as organized as that. Just, hey, I've got a place that I'm not going to be using for this period of time. I'll tell you what was pretty amazing. We're going to run off to Italy this summer, and we were looking for hotels and what have you. I went on this site. We found apartments in Florence for as little as $52 a night. Because you're dealing directly with somebody that owns the property that says, hey, you can stay in this little room or whatever, and you get to see the pictures, you know where it is. It's phenomenal.
Now, I wonder if people will actually start swapping properties for, hey, we want to go to the U.S.
There's actually a website for that already. I can't remember the name of it. I'll look it up. But that there is one that says, like that movie. Remember that movie where the two girls switched places?
Right.
That's actually happening.
See, the problem is when we want to go to San Diego to get away from the heat, no one from San Diego wants to come here.
No, not so much. I want to go try to get the URL Swapperty.
Swapperty.
Swap property.
Swapperty. There you go.
Now, and by the way, property, you found a really cool service this week. A Zillow service.
Oh yeah,
not, you got to talk about.
Yeah, so what we were just talking about is really specific to vacation and short term rentals. But you're looking for something a little bit more long term, or you're on the other side. You have something you want to rent, right? The company Zillow that's out there that's been around for a while that you all know, you've probably looked at and gotten depressed because your home value supposedly has gone down. They started another sort of startup little group called Postlets. And basically what you do is you go in and you create a profile for your one or multiple properties. And if you're a realtor, they have like a pro version. But you go in and you give it some basic information about the property and about contact info about yourself. And it creates a simple web page. Well, who cares, right? That's just
that's
the beginning of what
basic,
it does.
Yeah.
It automatically then syndicates that out to like 30 or 40 different sites, including back onto Zillow. And a bunch of other sites.
Craigslist.
It also gives you a couple of clicks, and you can share it on your Facebook or your MySpace or your, you know, whatever social thing you're doing on your Twitter, right? It creates a Craigslist post, all this stuff, and it all ties back to you. So a very simple way. It's free, or if you want a pro account, it's a couple of bucks if you have lots and lots of properties and you want to get nuts with it.
But, yeah, you're actually testing this with your condo in, that you're renting out in Tempe, right?
It's a townhouse, sir.
Oh, excuse me, a townhouse.
Townhouse, sir.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, if you know anybody that needs a townhouse to rent.
Got a condo made of Stona. King Tut.
Condo? It's a townhouse. Sir, it's a townhouse.
And it aggregates it over to all of these sites simultaneously at the same time and together.
Simultaneously at the same time.
That's fantastic.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Guys, I am excited because in just a couple of minutes, I am going to deliver my first Mac-tastic tip for Mac users.
And I'm going to throw up
ever
in my mouth
on the Data Doctors radio program.
It's
going to be Mac-tastic.
It's happening now.
Oh, just hang tight. Here it comes.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Have a tech issue you need help with? Have questions you're dying to ask and you want actual answers to? You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/datadoctors.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors radio program.
And it's that time, gentlemen.
You even found matching music?
Yes. It's time for the first ever Mac-tastic tip for Mac users.
I am so beside myself with excitement.
Well, if it's the first ever, there's a chance if it's not good, it'll be the last ever, right?
Possibly.
Oh, no. This will be...
Forever? Ever, ever? Forever, ever?
Forever, ever. You know, I noticed that in Windows, it's not very easy to do this little... Wait, hold on a second. We're getting close to that point in the song.
Oh, no. It's got a little ways to roll.
Oh, it's got a little way to go? Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. Here we go, baby. Tip.
Do we want to ask
Tip
Mark Morrison if he'll do a return of the Mac-tastic tip?
Mac-tastic tip.
You know, I haven't heard anything from him for years, so he's probably available for...
Yeah, I think he's pretty much done.
It might
be
his second hit.
The one-hit wonder is done.
Okay, Mac fanboy, let's hear it.
Okay, so for those of you who are sitting in front of your Macs and you always say, oh, gosh, I wish I could just grab a quick screenshot of what's on my screen. There's an easy keystroke that does two things. One, it'll grab a screenshot of the entire thing. Two, you can grab a screenshot of just a portion of the screen. And here they are. The Apple key used to be called the Apple key. It's called Command, Shift, and the number 3.
You said it was one key.
It's
keystroke.
Keystrokes.
Keystroke. It's two keystrokes.
It's
push, push.
Yes. Command, Shift, the number 3, will capture everything on your screen simultaneously at the same time together.
In the Windows world, we have one key for that. It's called Print Screen.
Print Screen. Shift, Command 4 pulls up these little crosshairs.
That's where it gets more gooder.
And now you take your mouse and you click and drag the area that you want to capture.
Selective capture.
Selective capture.
You can only do that in Windows.
We have two options for selective capture. In old school Windows, Alt Print Screen would capture just the active window.
Right, but it captures all of it.
In Windows 7 and beyond, we have all kinds of cool screen capture utilities.
It took Windows up to Windows 7 to get that feature in.
But, sir, we got it with one key.
So, Command-Shift-3 gives you the whole screen. Command-Shift-4 lets you selectively click, drag, and capture.
That is
there is your MacTastic tip.
Mm. I'm done.
I'm going to say it's not quite MacTastic. It's MacTas.
Tick.
No, we'll just leave the tick off. It's because it's not. You got to come up with something better next week.
Listen, I wasn't expecting much. Golf clap. Nicely done, Spanky. That's a good one. Because I think a lot of people, I mean, the point is, there's a lot of people that have been in Windows forever that are just getting into the Mac world. Mm-hmm. And so the point of these tips is to help people with these simple things that aren't so, you know, they're not as obvious.
No.
To somebody that's transitioning.
And those tips are called
MacTastic Tip.
Thank you.
So there's one little piece we left off that's not obvious at all.
What's that?
So all that does is capture it to this invisible magical space. It doesn't do anything. Print screen does not go to your printer. It doesn't. It's held there until you paste it somewhere else.
Mac puts it as a PNG file on your desktop. Easily grabbable, draggable,
so
mailable.
That added the tick back.
Well, hang on. With the tick, there's one piece missing for me. You get the little dot, you line it up, and then you do what?
You let go of the mouse, and as soon as you do,
okay. So
the picture is taken.
Automatically.
Wait, there's another way. Get your smartphone, take a picture of your screen.
That's screen capture.
Ghetto!
Screen capture!
And now, Ken, it is your turn.
It is. How about...
We're taking turns today. How polite.
How about our continued education series on the fact that Epsilon got breached and we're all getting spear phishing attacks, right? All these very cleverly crafted emails coming in. By the way, on our Facebook page last week, we posted a couple of different things and asked people, is this fake? Is it real? That kind of thing. So this week's at Dear Data Doctors segment. Somebody asked, how do I tell the difference?
I can always tell if they're fake or real.
Right. First and foremost, no matter whether it's fake or real, never ever click on any of the links. That's just the 100% guaranteed way that you're never going to have a problem with any phishing attack. If you get something you believe is legitimate, go to that website manually. Go access your account and see if that same information just pops up in your section there. So,
like one of the ones we posted during the week, right? It was supposedly a PayPal thing, and it had a Go link in it.
And that was actually a legitimate PayPal email because I went through the whole process and looked it up. And that's why I did it. We posted one that was a fake and one that was not. Everybody said they're both fakes. It's really hard to tell the difference. That's why you never click on any of the links. Just go yourself. It told you in that email, go to your PayPal account. You don't have to click on
these
links.
They had the link, but
you could go.
When in doubt, always. In fact,
not when in doubt,
be
always.
In doubt every time and always just do it. And a couple people said that, so they were right.
The other big red flag is grammar and spelling. And usually it's a subtle thing.
Like an iPad.
No. That's a congressional thing. These are going to be, most of these phishing attacks come from foreign countries, the Pacific Rim, what have you. So watch for that. Now, here's the cool one. Most people don't realize you can float your mouse over any link. And generally at the bottom, depending upon what you're using, at the bottom, what's called the status bar, it will show you where that link's going to go. Or sometimes it'll just pop up a text window to show you where that's going to go. If the link that's being displayed is different from the link that pops up, that's a spoof. That's a for sure sign that you've got a scam email, that the links don't match. They're presenting it one way, but it's actually going to take you somewhere else. So start floating. Start hovering over those links to really detect the bad guys.
Hovering.
Hovering.
It's like what my wife does at public toilets.
It's like stalking the website.
Well, you are just in the gutter today, aren't you?
I'm not the gutter.
You got dorm rooms. You've got bathrooms. You've got... Anyway. Phishing, spear phishing is phishing and spear phishing.
Play it safe online. You know what really amazes me, though, is that we still have to remind people, don't click on those things. They still do. It's every time.
It's they're going to be able to be very crafty and get you, though, so be careful.
Coming up, proof that Jesse Jackson Jr. is right and the iPads are putting Americans out of work.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing, we're just a click away, datadoctors.com/radio. Everything we talk about on the show, all the links and direct resources right there waiting for you.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
So you ever have this problem where you're trying to use Wi-Fi? I know Ken had this problem in her office recently.
Yeah, like in my office?
Like it works in parts of the house or parts of the building, but not other parts?
How about just when I walk in the door and then after that it's done?
That's when you call tech support.
How about you try to go out by the pool and you get all these weird range extenders and you try to get multiple access points and it gets to be kind of a big mess? Well, there may be a better solution to all this, that not only will the Wi-Fi signal get through all that, but it gets through brick walls. It goes for miles. Something called super Wi-Fi.
That dashing sounds... through brick walls, more powerful than a Wi-Fi signal, able to leap through basements in a single bound.
Hey, Brandon, that sounds super.
That sounds super, Ken.
It's super Wi-Fi.
So remember a couple years ago, we all had to get rid of our old school TVs and had to go to digital
yeah.
television,
yeah.
right? And
it's called analog. Yeah.
They stopped broadcasting. Well, a lot of those old frequencies that the TV stations used to take up, those are available. And finally, the FCC's cleared usage of that signal space.
Yes.
And there's some technical things going on here, but basically, it's a lower frequency, and lower frequencies have bigger waves, and they travel further, faster, better.
And they can get through that brick in the wall.
Right. There's a couple places in the country, and one in Houston, Texas, where they have like this kind of metropolitan Wi-Fi, and people on the outskirts weren't able to get the signal. And so the super Wi-Fi is a test deployment area, and when they turned it on, they were able to get this signal for miles further than they could before. They're having some huge success, and so it's something that probably is a couple years down the road from now, but Wi-Fi is going to become
super
and probably more ubiquitous.
Wow.
And we'll all grow third eyes and humps on our back.
It's the same frequencies we were using for years with television. It's just
making sure.
We're using it for something else now.
Playing it safe.
Isn't that cool? Repurposing of frequencies.
Repurposing frequency.
Spectrum. It's recycling.
It is. Hey, earlier in the program, we talked about the son of Reverend Jesse Jackson, Jesse Jackson Jr.
The representative. Representative. The
I wanted to say representative, but it came out Reverend, talking about how the iPad is killing American business.
AI.
No, he said it's causing unemployment.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he's right.
Why?
Because ebook sales have finally surpassed print sales. It's all the iPad's fault.
You mean we're saving trees?
We're saving trees.
But that's bad, right?
That's horrible because loggers and bookbinders and all those people are out of work now.
Well, I mean, publishing in the traditional sense. Okay, I mean, we're still, they're talking about technology that goes back to the printing press, right? Pretty much the same. Nothing has changed. Hello. The 1800s called. They want their printing method back.
Well, and here's the really bizarre thing. I really didn't embrace ebooks until this year. It took me a while to migrate from traditional to digital. And I don't know why, because I embrace almost everything else that's digital.
Probably because Apple wasn't in the game and you don't do anything that's not Apple.
No. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that. But this year, 116% year over year for the month of February, that's ebooks.
I thought that was your increase. I'm like,
I read a lot.
116% more than I used to.
Yes, I'm good with numbers. But February increased even more, 202.3%. That is ebook sales over print sales. Video killed the radio star, ebooks killing regular books.
So the New York Times bestseller list soon is going to be the iTunes bestseller list?
It'll still be the New York Times, but it'll be the digital version of the New York Times bestseller list. So there.
So it's time to go e-reader. When will they come up with an m-reader?
Well, you already have that. Your iPhone is an m-reader.
It's an m-reader. It's a mobile reader.
Right.
And speaking of m, there's an m in the dating world. Match.com.
Oh, yeah. They started screening.
Well, I wonder why.
In a whole different way.
Could it be a lawsuit, perhaps?
They're looking for people that are sex offenders, and
it's because that lady sued, claiming that she got raped on the second date as a result of somebody she met at Match.com, and she's holding them responsible for not screening those matchees.
How is that different than meeting someone at a bar, though?
Well, I think you should sue the bar.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? The guy, the taxi cab driver that took you to the bar,
he's responsible.
And
what about Jose Cuervo?
Oh, Jose and his Cuervos.
And what about that guy? He doesn't normally drink beer, but when he does,
he drinks.
That guy.
So Match.com is changing the way they do things because of a lawsuit. But that doesn't, I don't think that's going to stop the potential for bad things to happen. Bad things are going to happen no matter what you do.
Well, I think what Match is trying to say is that the easy evaluation of people that they can do, the cursory stuff they can do, they're going to start doing. Reality is those of you out there that are hooking up with people because you're single, I got one word for you. Dirtsearch.org.
Oh, that is the best.
That's quite a word.
Don't hold these other companies responsible for you doing your homework, just like you didn't in the past. At least I don't think you did. The internet's making people stupid.
How about meeting in public places? How about having your first date be somewhere where there's plenty of people around, or doing it with a friend or a couple's date? Or I mean, let's go back to the basics of blind dates in the first
place.
But
if you're gonna rely on technology, dirtsearch.org will pull all the public records and as much social media that's out there for these individuals. Now, again, you put in the person's name and the state, and it pulls everybody that's got that name. So it's not like everybody that comes up will be that person. But generally speaking, you can look at the details, where they live, those kinds of things, and start to amass some information about these people.
I shared the info about dirtsearch.org the other night with a friend of mine who's a talk show host on a radio station. And he was blown away at the info he was able to find. And that's
on himself, huh?
That's the first thing you do on dirt search. You search yourself, of course.
But someone he was dating, and that there's an arrest record. And he's, oh, my God, what am I going to do? It was a DUI 20 years ago. No, it wasn't.
So in the spirit of Angry Birds, that allows you to kill two pigs with one bird.
Do I have to play the game to understand the pigs reference? And the
It's Angry Birds.
It's Angry Birds, yeah. If you don't, yeah. Birds. If you don't know Angry Birds, sorry.
But by the way, if you tried to download Angry Birds yesterday, rots a ruck with that. iTunes had some major issues. The App Store went down. What was it? Wednesday?
It was a couple days ago.
Yeah, it was
and
Wednesday.
And then Amazon and all of their associated sites went down. I think the cloud is really where we should put all our stuff.
I got up on Thursday morning and I was like, why is Facebook like all these links to all these things that Hootsuite?
Nothing was working. It was awesome. By the way, Apple lost on Wednesday $11,000 a minute.
When that thing was down?
$11,000 a minute.
That's dumb.
So be careful where you put the cloud in your business is what you're saying.
All the links to all the stuff we talk about, not just this show, but any show, always available online, datadoctors.com/radio. And you can find previous shows and links to the podcast. It's all there, datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.